From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen. I'm sitting in for Tom Clark, who is off this week. I'm told he's attending a tofu convention.
That's right, a tofu convention for Tom.
That's what they told me. But he'll be back next week, so you're stuck with me for now. But I'm here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, and he's here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question, the number to call is 800-462-7413. And along with your calls, Zorba, we have some topics to talk about.
Yes, we're going to talk about vaping. Not just vaping nicotine, but also vaping marijuana, what the FDA says, and some interesting stuff that came out of the New England Journal of Medicine. Warning sign, it's not good. And then we're going to talk about napping. I love napping. I'm going to talk about napping. It might be that you don't just count your steps, but you count your naps. We'll see exactly what that happens to the jogging lobby.
And what is our recipe today?
Slow cooker turkey chili. I happen to like slow cookers. God, I think they last forever. I mean, the slow cooker that I got, I think almost when I went to college, is still working. No. I think I bought one or two, but they kind of last forever. And I'm always looking for simple, easy recipes that you can do in the morning before you go to work, and this one is dynamite. It's slow cooker turkey chili.
All right, to the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. And now our first caller joins us from Long Island, New York. Hi.
Hi, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
So I have sort of a strange question. I've seen many doctors over the years about this, and no one really has any answers for me. So at the very bottom of my left foot on my heel itches, and I've had the same itchy spot on my foot for like a decade or more.
For a decade? That is a long time.
Yes, and I'd really love to know, like, what is causing it. I have my own, like, suspicions, and then sort of the doctors that I've seen
over
the years.
What are your suspicions?
My original suspicion was that during my youthful 20s, I was, like, running around either at a dance club or maybe on the streets without any shoes on and maybe got a tiny piece of glass in my foot or, like, some kind of maybe minor injury or something got sort of buried in the foot.
So I'm trying to picture this. You're at a dance club, and you're dancing out of the dance club, and you're bare feet, and you get something. And it sounds like it's an okay way to get something. Sounds like you were having fun.
Yes, I was probably having a lot of fun.
Sounds like you were having a lot of fun. So that you got on the street and then may have come into contact with something when you're barefoot. Very reasonable. Very reasonable, something like that.
All I know is at the bottom of this, it's in the same exact spot. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's very deep in the foot. Mm-hmm. I have seen dermatologists who say there's absolutely nothing wrong there. I have seen my regular doctor who has suggested gently that perhaps it's like anxiety provoked.
No. Itching makes people anxious. Itching is an uncomfortable thing. The reason we itch is we're uncomfortable. And itching is the pain fiber that is intermittently firing that is actually causing an itch. And so when you scratch it, it feels better, but then it kind of, does it hurt?
It almost never is painful unless I have started digging at it and ripping the skin off, which was kind of like when it was at its worst, I was getting in under there.
So you've tried steroid creams there, I assume?
No, I've not tried any steroid creams, but I have to say the one thing that worked the best, and I will resort to it when it gets bad enough, is that I tried acupuncture there. And I noticed an immediate difference. In fact, if I go twice, usually I can get it healed up again, and it won't bother me for like a few months. Now, I also went to a different acupuncturist once who used this tool on me, which I had never seen or heard of before, but it really did wonders. It was like this, almost like a hot probey thingy. I don't know, but it basically put some deep heat onto it, and it was incredibly satisfying. It was like it was almost like a hot poker.
They may have done an ultrasound. You can do an ultrasound that actually is a medical ultrasound that will actually heat up the tissue underneath the skin. And that's what it sounds like that was. Okay, so first of all, I've got a couple of suggestions. I think where this started is very reasonable, but the insult may not be there anymore, but the memory of the insult within your brain is there and is causing you to actually go after that heel and do it. So the insult may be gone. And this is similar to phantom limb pain. When people have their lose their leg or lose their finger, I've got a gentleman in my office who had his leg removed, and he still has pain in his leg that doesn't exist. You follow me? In other words, it's called phantom limb pain. You have something that is just like that. It's phantom heel discomfort, probably from something that you got somewhere in the past. And like you said, going barefoot, something like that. We don't know really what the insult came from. I have a couple of ideas, first of all. First of all, if acupuncture works, that may be you may want to do preventive acupuncture. More importantly, you may want to take a course in acupressure so that you can actually do it to yourself and you can actually hit the meridian lines of acupuncture yourself, and go to an acupressure, try to take a course of looking at acupressure, maybe 4 to 6 sessions where you learn how to do it. Either you do the needles yourself, it's self-acupuncture, or it's self-acupressure. I would do that because it's a non-pharmacological way of doing it. That's number one. Number two, consider buying a TENS unit, T-E-N-S. Now, TENS units are used for people with all sorts of unusual pain syndromes that we can't figure out. They used to be by prescription only. You can buy them on Amazon now. You've got to pay about $100 to $200 to get a good one.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll get a fake one. And there are electrodes that go on your skin. They're used in the back, in the arms, in the leg. People, you can use them actually all over their body. And what they do is you put that on, and it causes stimulation and spasm of the muscles in that area. And sometimes that reduces pain. And so people use them. They're sort of almost like an electronic acupuncture unit. And I would try that. I've never actually given it to anyone. The pads are different kinds of pads that you put on them for the heel, but I would try it if I had a heel problem. Again, it's a non-pharmacological way of looking at this. If that fails, I would look at triamcinolone cream. It's a steroid cream, and get it mixed with menthol. And it's then it's mixed by pharmacies that actually do it. You need a prescription for it. But sometimes that with menthol can actually make a difference in terms of the pain sensation. The whole idea is that these are pain fibers that are intermittently firing either directly from there, or they're a memory in your brain, and you've got to get that memory out of your brain. And the way to do it is with acupressure or acupuncture, the TENS unit. You're never going to find out what started this. Never. But I would try those things, the TENS unit, acupressure, or a triamcinolone with a menthol.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Zorba. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Thanks for sharing your experience with us.
Yes, no problem. Take care.
Thanks. Thanks so much for the call. 800-462-7413 is the number. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before our next call, Zorba, we've been seeing people across the country having severe lung issues related to e-cigarettes.
Well, e-cigarettes and vaping, it's very interesting. So first of all, you know, for the record, I have not been pro-vaping at all since the very beginning because we really don't know what's going into it. It's not regulated by the FDA. The FDA tried to regulate it, and basically the vaping companies, even when they were small, even when Philip Morris and other companies were not into it, were saying, no, you can't do it. And so there's no regulation. You really don't know what you're getting. And frankly, breathing in fresh, clean air is the only thing that's safe. But now we're actually seeing illnesses about it. And across the country, people have had severe lung illnesses related to vaping. I mean, you know, we're talking about kids in their teens and in their 20s who are then in the hospital. We had a whole bunch in Wisconsin, and it's really a very, very important issue. And the question is, what's going on? Well, we don't know what's in the cigarette. And the FDA has discovered, at least when they actually do some epidemiology, which is what they're doing, it's not just the vaping of nicotine, but it's the vaping of THC. Now, I don't know about you, but I just went and I went to Seattle and I was looking in one of those stores.
Those stores.
Those stores
sure.
called Ike's Stores and looking around. By the way, when they did research in Seattle and in Washington, they found out that the only people who are now smoking marijuana that didn't smoke before are baby boomers.
Okay.
People in their 10s and 20s.
Well, they took a long break from it, right?
They took a long break. Now that it's legal, well, I think because they didn't have a source. Now they can walk down the street. But there are a huge number of THC, basically, e-cigarettes in the stores. And the THC cigarettes appear to be a subset that are actually causing more problems than even the nicotine cigarettes, that there may be some psychoactive chemical in the marijuana cigarettes that's actually causing people to be sick. And it may be a chemical called vitamin E acetate. Vitamin E, by the way, is a vitamin, but it's a vitamin that's an oil. And apparently, until I read this article, I didn't realize that it was used essentially to take the THC and put that into the chemical itself. So the feds have recommended against vaping until we find out what's going on. The feds have recommended especially against vaping anything with THC. And if you've got symptoms of fatigue, nausea, vomiting, coughing, and a fever, and you're vaping, you better see your doctor because there may be something significantly wrong. I mean, some of these people, can you believe it, needed supplemental oxygen. They're teenagers.
Yeah.
It's an awful thing. It's simply awful.
These products, you know, especially the e-cigarettes, they've been on the market for years now.
Yeah, for years.
Why are we seeing this now?
Well, that's a good question. Now, first of all, when we look at if we look at tobacco, for instance, it wasn't until the 1960s that the Surgeon General came out with a warning and said tobacco causes lung cancer. And at that time when that came out, people said, well, but if I smoke a pipe or I smoke cigars, it's not going to be bothersome because I'm not inhaling. Well, and you don't inhale as deeply usually, but it was a problem. It wasn't until maybe 5 years later that we realized that most people were not dying of lung cancer from tobacco. They're actually dying of premature heart attacks and strokes. Mm. And then it was discovered that it caused all these other problems. Then we discovered basically, you know, that if you live with somebody who has actually smoked, you get secondhand smoke and that's bad. These things develop over time. And what's happened is there were other people who were hospitalized undoubtedly a year ago and 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but they weren't hospitalized in a bunch. Mm-hmm. You've got to have like, what do you mean, 5 teenagers have this lung problem? Then it hits the skids and people go, something's going on. You know, if it's an occasional teenager or a young adult that goes in a hospital for respiratory illness, it wouldn't be noticed. That's what we do. So you know what the bottom line is?
What?
Stop vaping.
Okay.
I think the feds have to, first of all, all the states have to make it 21 or older. There has to be warning labels on it. People have to know that it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. Education.
1-800-462-7413 is the number to call. That's 800-462-7413. And back to the phones we go. Let's help a caller in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help today?
I've been suffering from hypnic jerks for at least 15 years. In the last 4 to 6 months, they have tripled. It's a very sleepless night, that sort of thing. I've been to doctors, physical therapists, and have found absolutely no relief. So I thought maybe Dr. Zorba would have the answer.
Have you been on anti-Parkinson medications for this?
No.
You've never been on anything for restless leg syndrome?
Yes. My doc put me on Ropinirole.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Briefly, mm-hmm. I had no results at all, mm-hmm. and he said, you're best to just quit taking.
What else have you been on? Were you on gabapentin or pregabalin, any of those drugs?
No. Nothing.
Were you ever on a low-dose antidepressant that we use for sleep, such as doxepin at all, anything like that?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. And you were never on a drug like Sinemet. Well, Pinanol is sort of like it, but you, right? Nothing like that.
No.
Okay. And when does this bother you? Is it when you go to sleep or in the middle of sleep? When does it bother you the most?
Usually I go right to sleep. Mm-hmm. I wake up within a couple hours, uh-huh. and I have jerks.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I have to leave the bed uh-huh. and go to a different place to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's just really annoying. The biggest problem was about 4 or 5 months ago when I woke and my neck was so stunned, uh-huh. just like it must be a stun gun, electrical
sure.
pulse.
Wow.
We've done x-rays. We're going to do MRIs coming up.
Of your neck. Yeah. What does your wife think about this whole thing? Does she sleep in the same room or a different room?
We do have a split queen bed, so mm-hmm. it's not as traumatic for her. However, She's very sympathetic and loving.
She's sympathetic and loving. So when you suffer, she suffers. Okay, I've got a couple of good ideas. First of all, I want to tell you there is an old-fashioned remedy for this. May or may not work. Try that first. It's called warm milk and a warm bath. And believe it or not, there have been some studies that look at warm milk and a warm bath actually can do a lot, surprisingly. Now, I don't take baths anymore. When I was a kid, I liked being in the bath. Didn't you like being in the bath, Carl, when you were a kid?
Yeah, I still do, actually.
You know, you still take
once in a while. Once in a while.
But you know, Carl's got two young kids. They love taking baths, don't they? They're in the bath. And they play with it.
I can't get them to take a shower, actually.
No. The 4-year-old and a 1-year-old are not about to take a shower.
1-year-old hates showers, by the way.
Hates showers, but likes baths. likes to be in the water. So one of the things, a warm bath, believe it or not, and warm milk before you go to sleep may actually help this. And I would just try that and see whether or not it makes a difference. And if it does, you're one and done. It may not make a difference, but it may actually help you relax. It may actually give you a deeper sleep. And I'm kind of interested in this the more I read about it. Drugs. Let's talk about drugs. There are three sets of drugs I think you should try. First of all, the anti-Parkinson drugs, and there's more than one of them. There's a drug called Sinemet, which is sort of the mainstay. But these drugs are very good for restless legs and rhythmic movements. And even though you had one in that class that didn't work, there are about three or four drugs, or may even be more in that class, and they're all a little bit different. So if one doesn't work, you try another one. So I would try with your doctor one right after another, and I would try the anti-Parkinsonian drugs first. Give each one a month try. See if it works. If it works, you're done. If that fails, I would go to the anti-seizure drugs, and I would do gabapentin because it's a great drug for this, and I would take 300 milligrams to 800 milligrams an hour before you go to sleep. And I would try that individually or even with the Parkinson drugs. You got a lot of different things to try here. And the third thing to try are antidepressants that help us sleep, and I would go to doxepin, D-O-X-E-P-I-N, great medication, and I would try between 25 and 100 milligrams of that. All of these separate. A lot of stuff to try, but all of these separate. I think you really could get this under control. I think you have a good chance of maybe getting it 50% better or 75% better if you try these drugs. You have not tried enough medications.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
And thanks a lot for the call. At 800-462-7413 is the number to call. 1-800-462-7413. And before the break, Zorba, let's do that segment where you get yelled at for something you said on the show. This is another edition.
It's called the yelling segment. Yeah. I like it. The yelling segment.
It's actually Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh, oh.
The following email came to us from Eden in St. Augustine, Florida. Dear Dr. Zorba, as a Wisconsin native and NPR-ophile.
Oh, good. See, I like it. You got to state what your credentials are before you start and actually start yelling.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to know this is somebody with credentials. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, NPR-ophile. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They go on to say, I've listened to you for years.
Oh, nice. See, third credential.
And there's always a but.
There's always a but, right.
But I was so very disappointed to hear your comments about plant-based burgers.
Oh, right.
You mentioned
the amazing burger. What is the impossible name of it?
The
impossible burger.
The beyond burger. And let's do the amazing. You should start amazing, the amazing burger.
The amazing burger. Yeah. That's right. You heard it here.
It's better than the nothing burger.
The nothing burger has no calories. There's nothing in there. You just eat it. Some people call it the virtual burger. It's a good way to eat and lose food.
Lose weight.
The e-burger. There's nothing there. Please go on.
Okay.
Go on with the yell.
You mentioned the carbon footprint of the burgers, their industrial nature, and the resources used to create them. What?
Yes.
Shall we discuss the industrial nature of animal agriculture?
That's true. That's true. Yeah,
the resources used to create a beef burger versus a plant-based one?
That's right.
The wild inefficiency of raising animals to eat?
That's right.
And these
are
question marks at the end, so that's why I'm going up.
Yeah, I got it. No, you're doing a good job.
There is nothing natural about a factory farm. Eating meat is bad for our health, for the environment, and for the animals. I think the way you
definitely bad for the animals. There's no doubt doubt about it. Eating beef is really bad for the animals. You can't get worse than that.
They go on. I think the way you have historically addressed veganism in concert with your illustrious colleague.
That's right.
Who's not here to defend himself.
Because he's at a tofu convention.
That's right.
let's remember, he's at a tofu convention. So.
Anyways, they say, I would exhort you most urgently to encourage a healthy, well-planned vegan lifestyle for your audience.
Uh-huh.
People listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Healthy living and compassion for other living beings are synergistic.
That's right. Now, I am not against vegans. Some of my best friends are vegans. But I find veganism to be a little – I'm an omnivore. I just find it to be a little limiting. So I'm also against having lots of, you know, animal foods, huge amounts of animal foods. So – but, you know, like I say, I think these are lifestyle – I think they're lifestyle issues. The thing about the industrialized burger, I think it is industrialized. You know, if you want to eat a vegan or a vegetarian meals, why have a burger or, you know, have something that is soy-based? But they are industrialized. I like Michael Pollan's idea. If it's more than five ingredients, it's not, you know, it's industrialized food. On the other hand, this reader or this listener has a really good point to the fact that we don't think about the fact that when we get our animal products, they are also industrialized.
Right.
Yes, it's just beef, but where did the beef come from? And the reality is it did come from a factory farm.
Right.
So my thought is people make their choices, buyer beware. So you know what? Enjoy.
Do you have a beef with Zorba?
Oh.
Or maybe you just think he told a whopper on the show?
Oh.
Let us know by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Our turkey chili recipe, not
That's
beef.
Right. With real turkey.
Yep, real turkey.
Real turkey.
Not impossible turkey.
That's right.
Our turkey chili recipe is coming up, along with more of your calls, of course, right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Christensen sitting in for Tom Clark here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. The number to call is 800-462-7413 for your healthy living questions for the good doc. But before we get back to the phone calls, Zorba, slow cooker. That's a slow way to read the recipe. Slow cooker turkey chili.
It is slow. Slow cookers. Now, do you have a slow cooker?
I do.
So do you have an Instant Pot, which is like a fancy slow cooker?
I have both.
I mean, you have both a slow cooker.
I do.
Did you use a slow cooker when you were like in college? When did you use your slow cooker?
My parents use the slow cooker.
The slow cooker, yeah. There's something about slow cookers. And, you know, years ago there were slow cookers that was like, oh, my God, it's a slow cooker recipe because they were never very good.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they were, they weren't very tasty. They're sort of mush on mush.
Right.
And then basically Cooks Illustrated and a bunch of others came out with really good slow cooker recipes that were wonderful. And with the Instant Pot, you know, which are pressure cookers, saute makers, slow cookers, sort of all combined.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Clark came up with a great recipe book that uses both as a slow cooker and a pressure cooker, and I think they're awesome. And this is turkey chili. I mean, do you like chili?
I love chili.
See, and, you know, and chili is great. For some reason, the colder it gets, the more I like chili.
Oh, but not the chili, but the colder the weather?
The weather.
Okay.
The colder the weather. Yeah, not the colder the chili. Do you think it's because of the name chili?
It's supposed to be cold?
That we associated with cold weather. But, I mean, I have chili in the summer, but it's really the wintertime that I think, ooh,
right.
We'll have a pot of chili. So this is slow cooker turkey chili.
Sounds good.
So start out with 1 tablespoonful of extra virgin olive oil.
1 big tea extra virgin olive oil.
And now you want to get ground turkey. You want to get ground turkey that's 99% lean. So basically, if it's in the store, ask the butcher, find out, make sure that it's lean turkey. Most of it is lean, but you want to make sure it is lean turkey, 99% lean.
That's 1 pound of lean ground turkey.
That's right. Medium onion diced.
One medium onion diced.
That's right. A red pepper chopped.
A red pepper chopped.
If it's too expensive, use a green pepper. You know.
Are they more than reds or more than greens?
Do you shop?
I do.
Have you looked?
I guess I didn't pay attention.
Obviously, there's a huge difference. There's a big difference. The green peppers are always much cheaper than the red peppers. I comparison shop. The difference is amazing. The same for a yellow pepper. Yes, they're like three times. You just grab the pepper. I mean, you've got to look at your budget, man.
All right, sorry.
I mean, you know, there's a difference. Now, in the summer, the difference is minimal. But in the winter, the difference is more. You know, you've got two kids. You've got to save for college.
That's true.
So, two 15-ounce cans. Of tomato sauce.
Wait, we skipped the yellow pepper. Or did you say the yellow pepper?
Well, I kind of said it. A red pepper and a yellow pepper. One of red and yellow make it look pretty.
Okay.
And if you want to go on the cheap, which I often do, two greens. They'll work just fine.
We're turning this into the Red Green Show, by the way.
Where did that come from? Okay.
Anyways.
Now, we're going to do two cans of a bunch of things. Two 15-ounce cans of tomato sauce.
Two 15-ounce cans of tomato sauce?
Two 15-ounce cans of diced tomatoes.
That's two 15-ounce cans of diced tomatoes?
Two 15-ounce cans of black beans. Got to rinse them and drain them. You don't want the smush that's around the black bean in there. Okay?
Two cans black beans.
Rinsed and drained.
Rinsed and
two 15-ounce cans of red kidney beans again. Rinse them and drain them.
Two 15-ounce cans red kidney bean. This sounds like two cans Sam right now.
You got it. Okay. And a 16-ounce can of deli sliced jalapeno peppers that are drained. So if you like it, I like jalapenos. If you don't like it, keep it out of 16-ounce cans, jalapeno, and drain them.
That puts the kick in the chili right there.
That's good. I like kick.
So jar of sliced jalapeno peppers drained.
That's right. Cup of frozen corn, two tablespoonfuls of your favorite chili powder, a tablespoonful of cumin.
One big tea cumin.
By the way, cumin, whichever
Grammar
you pronounce
police,
it.
Police, are you listening?
If you ground it, you then.
I know you always
thank
are.
Thank you. They're always listening. Some salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper.
And then a garnish, you're going to have thinly sliced green onions and some shredded cheese of your choice.
What is your cheese of choice
for chili? I usually use Jack. I like Monterey Jack. How
it melts
about you?
Well. Yeah, I agree. It's a good melting cheese.
It's a good melting cheese. Okay, let's make it. Heat the tablespoonful of olive oil in a skillet. Place the turkey in the skillet. Cook it until it's brown. Pour the turkey into that cold slow cooker along with the fond at the bottom of the pan. Then add the onion, the peppers, the tomato sauce, the diced tomatoes, the beans, the jalapenos, the corns, the chili powder, and the cumin. Stir it all out. Season with salt and pepper. Taste it. Cover and cook for 4 to 6 hours. Then take it out. Have your toppings there. Maybe have some nice crunchy bread there. Maybe have a good, maybe a hoppy beer with it.
Oh, sure.
Have a little hoppy beer with it and invite your friends over. And if you would like a copy of this, you know where they can get this?
Where?
On the web.
The internet web?
On the internet web. That's right. And you don't even have to put www before it. But if you go to zorbapastor.org, you can get this recipe. Lots of other recipes. You can see Tom, who isn't here today because he's at a tofu convention. You can see one get other recipes at zorbapastor.org. And don't forget, you can find us through Facebook.
800-462-7413 is the number. That's 1-800-462-7413. And back to the phones we go, Zorba. Here is a caller in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi. How can we help?
I got a situation that's been going on for a couple of years where I got a perm done a couple of years ago. I guess when you get over a certain age, you want your hair to look white.
Uh-huh.
So you got something done, and I think the person that did the perm may have burned the scalp. That's what I think. I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the dermatologist. I've been there a couple times, and they keep on prescribing this shampoo. It's red, and they're different INEs.
Wait, I want to go back to the perm. How long ago did you have the perm?
Hair color change was probably about 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Okay. So since that time, you've had problems?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to the dermatologist, and he just prescribes the shampoo, and he says you can only use it twice a week. And that's it. And then, of course, you know, you try the Selsun Blue, you try the...
Right. And actually, you're right about Selsun Blue, because Selsun Blue on your head, often with a shower cap, so you don't wash it off for 5 minutes, so it gets to sort of soak in and work topically. You've done that a few times?
Yeah, I've done all of them. And I've even used just a regular shampoo that has a moisturizer in it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thinking maybe the skin is just drying out.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's almost like a cornflake.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be around wear the hat. You know, I have to wear a hat for work.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like wear the hat.
You have to wear, what sort of work do you do?
UPS driver.
I want to talk about the hat for a minute. Do you clean the hat at all?
Yes. That gets washed with the uniforms.
So right. What's your main, is it the flaking that bothers you, or is it a symptom in there?
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, someone said something about psoriasis or eczema.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I said, somebody even said stress.
No, it's not stress. It's not. I know. It may give you stress, but it's not stress. You know, and you've gone to a dermatologist. You know, usually this sounds like seborrheic dermatitis, which is, you know, which is a cousin of dandruff. I mean, that's what it sounds like. But what is the thing that is the – is it symptomatic or is it the flakiness?
It's how every time you wash your hair, you've got the buildup. And it actually seems like it makes the scalp – thin out a little bit.
Right. No, but your scalp, as you get older, your scalp, you know, like the rest of your skin, you know, kind of thins out. How often do you shampoo?
Every day.
Have you thought about going to twice a week?
Yeah, I did.
And what happened with that?
Didn't work.
Didn't work. Have you had a course of steroids at all, oral steroids?
No, I haven't. But you know what someone recommended? Tea tree oil.
Oh, that's something I would try too. So, first of all, seborrheic dermatitis is really where the scalp it's an inherited condition. We don't really understand it. It's associated with flakiness. When infants get it, it's called cradle cap. Some mothers call it cradle crap, but it's not. It's actually cradle. It's cradle cap. And what you got with the Selsun Blue and the over-the-counter things and the steroid shampoos are something that often will do it. Sometimes a short course of steroids for 1 to 2 weeks, oral steroids, prednisone, 10 milligrams twice daily for 1 week, then prednisone, 10 milligrams once daily for 1 week may put it through. Have you been going to the same dermatologist all along?
Yes.
I would go to a different dermatologist. I would absolutely change. And I'll tell you why. There are a whole variety of medicated shampoos, medicated creams, and medicated sprays that you've got to try. And that's what you really have to try before you go to the oral steroids. You've tried a few, but you haven't tried them all. And usually we can get something like this under control. That's number one. Number two, you probably will go, after you get it under control, you're probably going to go to shampooing twice a week. Often we shampoo too often, and that actually can produce a problem with something like this. But I think you need a second opinion from another dermatologist. I think that's really what the issue is, because this person does not have the answers, and there are other things you can do.
Correct.
How do you like your job?
Long time.
Long time. How long have you been doing it?
38 years.
Wow.
30 years. Well, it's a good company to work for. They really have they have a great reputation as a really fine company to work with. I talked to our UPS drivers. We've had different drivers over the years at our office, and they all seem to be really happy in what they're doing. Good company.
Hey, you see your customer smile, then you know you're doing the job.
Ah, I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it.
You have a good day.
Thank you, too.
Thanks so much for the call. At 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. And before we take a break, Zorba, we love it when our listeners post on our Facebook page. So time again for Facebook feedback.
Facebook feedback.
Okay, Zorba, you like that song, don't you?
I do.
You do a little.
It's a jingle.
A little dance. Yeah. On the official Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page, you recently posted an article that you wrote about the importance of the new shingles vaccine.
Right. Shingrix.
If you're over the age of 50.
Right.
Well, that article really blew the roof off our Facebook page with shingles questions, so we'll try to tackle some of them now. First, Jill in Milwaukee writes, I had shingles 25 years ago. Do I still need the new vaccine?
Yes. Get it. Absolutely. 100%. Because you might get it again.
Okay.
You don't want to get it again, but you might get it again.
Tom in Wilmot, Wisconsin wrote, the second dose is not always available. So then what do?
Then you get the second dose when it's available.
You just wait.
In other words, because they can't keep up with demand, it's a new injection. You can't keep up with demand because, frankly, you know, the factory only goes so fast. They knew that was going to be the case. It was because the Medicare said it was important to get that all of a sudden, blew it out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is the second one will be available. You know, call, put your name on the list, call your doctor. Doesn't have to be at 6 months. It just has to be, there's a minimum amount of time at which you have to wait, and then after that you can get it.
Jim in Twin Lake, Michigan said, okay, but why is it so expensive? I was quoted at $225 a few years ago.
That's right.
With good
insurance. Right. That's right. By the way, it wasn't a few years ago because it hasn't been out for a few years.
Oh, okay.
Insurance should pay for it. If your insurance doesn't pay for it, then that's what your insurance is. It's a deductible. There was a tremendous amount of research. The reason it's so expensive is it took about 10 years to develop.
Okay.
And so what's going to happen is – you hit it. A lot of things don't work. There were a lot of other vaccine companies that tried to develop it. GSK developed it. That's what it costs. And you've got to look at it kind of in the long-term range. You buy a car. You put something in the car in a sound system. How long does it last? I think if you want good technology, you have to pay for technology. Now, the cancer drugs that cost $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000, I think that's totally outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
But a shingle shot that keeps you from getting shingles that may last for the rest of your life, that may cost $250,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of a ticket to Broadway, you know, a Broadway show,
mm-hmm.
which is expensive.
Sure.
But this may last for 10 years, so it's $25 a year, or may last for 20 years, which is 12 bucks a year. I mean, I think that it's important to get technology, and sometimes we have to pay for what we get. You can get the old shot,
mm-hmm.
which is the Merck shot. It doesn't cost nearly as much, and you can just be not covered as well, and you want to go to old technology, then do it.
And finally, Victor in Texas asks, how can I get my insurance to cover this?
Yell and scream at them. And you know what they'll say to you?
What?
Uh-huh. Right. We're not covering it. If they don't cover it, they don't cover it. You know,
okay.
How can you get them to cover it? Talk to them and see if they'll cover it. And the answer is they want you to pay them, and they don't want to pay you.
Gotcha.
That's how insurance works. I didn't know if you know that. Did you know that?
I didn't, actually. Thanks for all the Facebook comments. And if you have a healthy living question for the good doc, just post on our Facebook page, or you can always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org, either the healthy questions or the unhealthy questions.
We like
both. I will
both.
Answer them both. That's right.
More calls to come. Another interesting topic to discuss. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. The Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen here, sitting in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. 800-462-7413 is the number to call with your healthy living questions. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we get back to the phone, Zorba, we have some new research out now about how taking a nap may lower the risk for heart attacks and stroke.
Yeah, I love naps. Do you nap?
Occasionally, if I get a chance, I love a nap.
Do your children nap?
I wish they napped more. The one-year-old does still.
Yeah, that's right. You try to get him into a nap.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go on nap strikes.
Yeah.
I'm a strike. I'm not going on a nap.
Exactly.
I happen to love naps. I've always been a napper. You know, I nap occasionally. I love napping in the summer because we have a gazebo, and I love going out there and reading.
Nice.
And I've always thought naps are good for you. And, you know, they're part of a lot of cultures, right?
Sure.
You know, I go to Spain, and we go to France, the southern part of France, and they all nap in the middle of the day. Well, this is very interesting research that shows that napping may actually reduce the incidence of heart attacks.
Hmm.
And this was published in the journal Heart. I think it's really important really important information about it. So they looked at people between the ages of 35 and 75. These are randomly selected people in Lucerne, Switzerland. So it's not in the U.S., it's in Switzerland. And they looked at people, and this was part of a longitudinal study where they're looking at whether they exercise, whether they smoke cigarettes and things like that. And they looked at nappers. They looked at people who nap. So they looked at people who didn't nap at all. They looked at people who nap maybe once or twice a week. They looked at people who nap 3 to 5 days and people who napped every day. And here's what they found out. They found basically that people who took 1 to 2 naps a week had about a 20% drop in the risk of having a heart attack.
Wow. That's pretty significant.
That is really significant. And what's really interesting is it didn't seem to matter about the duration of the nap that seemed to make much of a difference. In other words, they took, first of all, 5 naps a week versus 1 to 2 naps a week. It didn't seem to make a difference. But some people only nap for like 5 or 10 minutes, and some people nap for an hour. And how long they nap did not seem to make a difference. And it didn't seem to make a difference at all with strokes, but heart attacks. So the bottom line of this is that napping once to twice a week, rather, seems to reduce your chances of having a heart attack, may also reduce your chances of having a stroke. And I think that this also may be similar to the results that we're seeing with meditation and mindfulness. That there's a time that we have to, shocking as it is, shut off the electronic media. Turn off the radio.
Sounds nice.
Unplug the TV. Give ourselves maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes of quiet time to be with ourselves. And it may be that there's something that rejuvenates us so we can finally enjoy our life and not have a heart attack and probably not have a stroke. So you know what I'm going to do right after this? I'm going to go take a nap.
800-462-7413 is the number to call. And let's go to a caller now in Moab, Utah. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
Oh, I was napping. Let me get awake here for a second.
As long as you're not driving, that really is okay. Napping and driving is a no-no.
Well, my question is actually about high cholesterol and diet. I seem to have a history of high cholesterol in my family, but this last checkup with my doctor, she got pretty worried about it. It was 320.
Oh, that really is high. What's your HDL? What's your good cholesterol?
55.
Okay, so that's pretty good HDL. What's your family history?
Well, I don't know what the numbers are, but just high cholesterol in general.
Yeah. Your mom and dad still alive, or are they gone?
They are hanging on by a thread. My mother has leukemia right now, and it's pretty bad.
And your dad?
And he's doing okay.
How old is he?
He's almost 80.
Okay. Well, 320 with an HDL 55 is pretty high. So did your doc recommend you go on atorvastatin or rosuvastatin?
Well, she wants to consider that, but I don't. I mean, I've just been on all kinds of medication for, you know, got over breast cancer this last year, and I'm really tired of taking stuff.
Of course. Do you have high blood pressure? Are you on anything else?
No, my blood pressure is terrific.
How old
are
you?
But I'm wondering, I'm 61.
So if you were in my office, what I would say is, look, this is really high. I think you're going to need a statin. Let's go to diet first. Let's see what we can do. Why don't you be really, really good? Follow a Mediterranean diet. You know, reduce the carbohydrates. Be really good at what you're eating. Let's repeat it again in 3 months, and let's see what diet would do. That's what I would say. But if you continued in that 280, 290, 320 number, if you look at the data, it really shows that statins make a big difference. I mean, they really make a difference. One of the reasons that we've had clearly a 70-80% reduction in premature heart attacks and premature strokes since I had first started being a doctor, a huge drop, is because we treat high blood pressure effectively. You don't have that, which is awesome. And because we treat cholesterol. Those are the two major things from a medical point of view. From a non-medical point of view, smoking reduction, very important. Better food, more fruits and vegetables, and exercise. You know, those are the non-medical things. But this is a cause of concern. I wouldn't rush in with a statin, but I wouldn't put it off. And people say to me all the time, I don't want to take a pill. And I say, well, you don't have to take a pill, but if you know the pill has a really good chance that it's going to keep you from having a stroke or a heart attack in your 80s, you know, when you're 60, 80's not that far away. It's as far away as when you were 40. You remember 40 quite well, I'm sure. So you want to be healthy when you're 80. You don't want to have I'm 80 and I'm going to have a stroke and a heart attack. You never want to have a stroke or heart attack. Everyone wants the Niagara death for the most part. The Niagara death is, I'm great, I'm fine, I went over the waterfall, thanks for the good time. Right? That's the Niagara. That's the Niagara death. You don't want a stroke that disables you. Kind of like that.
I was thinking about, they go over in like a barrel or something?
A barrel, that's right. Go over the barrel, that's exactly
that's
it.
That's how everyone wants to go out.
That's it. We get in the barrel, go over the waterfall, yahoo. So if your number did not go down, I would go on a statin. That's what I would do if it were me.
But I know you favor the Mediterranean diet, but what about something more restrictive,
you could be more restrictive.
Paleo?
You could go to paleo diet. 100%. Go on the most restricted diet you can and exercise and see whether or not you can change this number in a natural way. I do have people that drop their numbers tremendously when they go on a very strict diet. And then other people say, I don't want to be on the diet. I'd rather take the medicine. But go on a strict diet. See what you can do. Number one, it may work. Or number two, if it doesn't work, it then shows you this is an inherited trait.
Cool. Absolutely. Well, that's great news.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Hey. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot for that call. 800-462-7413 is the number. That's 1-800-462-7413. And Zorba, let's check in again. You love this part. With your favorite nitpickers, the Grammar Police.
I hope this isn't the punctuation police.
Actually, Zorba.
Is it?
No, it's not the punctuation. It's another subset of the grammar police.
The spelling police?
Keep going. Keep
guessing. Pronunciation police.
Nope. It's one we haven't had yet, actually. We have not heard from this subset of the grammar police. It'd be hard to guess.
It'd be hard to guess. The pause police, when I do pauses?
Not the pause police.
The speech police. The pronunciation police.
Not the I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
This subset of the grammar police, they're very wet.
The wet, they're wet. You mean I'm spitting when I'm talking into the microphone? It's the spitting police?
All right. Drum roll. You want to do a drum roll and I'll tell you what it is? Here we go. This is from the sponge police.
The sponge.
Was that too squishy for you?
It's okay for public radio? I can do it. I can take a squishiness.
Okay. That's good. It's actually the dishwashing police, but sponge police sounds better. It's a little punchier.
Much better. I like it. I'm with it. I'm with it, man.
Okay. David in Missouri sent us the following question. Dear Dr. Zorba, I write not to lament your butchery of the English language or your program's puerile cornball humor. I'm at fault for that.
Puerile. At least you didn't say Puritan.
These are but annoying trifles.
Oh, trifles. Oh.
He goes on. Nope. I write of a far more deplorable matter. Dishwashing sponges, which you've talked about.
I have. That's right.
How can it be that well into the 21st century, a scientific broadcaster encourages his listeners to continue using ineffective, unsanitary, hand-chapping, sleeve-drenching sponges to process dirty dishes? It may interest you to learn that some 100 years ago, benefactors of human welfare bestowed upon the multitudes of sponge-slopping wretches the long-handled dishwashing brush.
Oh, got it.
Have you heard of that?
No. I'm thinking about it. I'm with you. Go ahead.
He goes on. It's an efficient, effective, sanitary, rubber glove-free alternative available worldwide at a store or computer near you. Now, I got to turn the page because he's still going here. For your listeners' information, a dishwashing brush with offset handle is the quickest and tidiest possible mechanism for accomplishing our chores at the sink. The brush method leaves hands and clothing dry.
This is like an infomercial. He's really into this, right? Isn't he?
Leaves hands and clothing dry and dishes quickly so.
He's got money in this, I bet. He produces this.
Moreover, bristles, unlike that dense germ hotel matrix known as the sponge, sparkle clean with but a single quick pass under the hot water stream. I confess to having had little success in persuading the obstinate sponge addicts of my acquaintance to mend the stupidity of their ways. He's still going here.
He's still going.
Still, as a lifelong advocate of enlightenment over custom and tidiness over slovenliness, I am instructed by the gods of human betterment to share with you and your listeners their gospel of progress at the sink. Neatly and hygienically yours, David in Missouri.
I love it. Woo-hoo! You know something? That is the best brush marshal I have ever heard.
The Fuller Brush Man. Is that him, maybe?
The Fuller Brush Man.
Remember that
one? Will take that to heart. I've never really thought about the brush as an alternative. I've got to do brush research and put it on here. Well done.
So toss the sponge, you think?
Toss that. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to toss the sponge.
You're going to still use them.
Well, I occasionally use the brush, so they're kind of big on the same.
So you have one of these?
Well, I do have one of these.
Okay.
I have one for a bottle. I have the bottle brush.
Oh, sure.
And I've got another brush sort of tidied under the sink, but for some reason, I just like the movement of the sponge, but maybe the brush with the lever will actually do a better idea. I will take it to heart.
Do you think Zorbas should brush up on his dishwashing technique? Or maybe he should just throw in the towel altogether? Give us your thoughts by posting on our Facebook page, or you can send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413 is the number to call. That's 1-800-462-7413. And before we head out today, Zorba, let's crack open the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox and share another listener question. The following email came to us from Ashley, and she writes, "Hello, Dr. Zorba. The other day, I decided to clean out my cabinets, and I noticed slight paint fumes. So I removed all the dishes and washed them in hot soapy water and vinegar. Afterwards, I noticed the fumes were all over me. So I took a hot bath with baking soda, but it didn't help. Hours later, I took a shower, and the fumes were still there. For the past 4 days, I have taken a bath and 2 showers per day using a paste of baking soda, water, vinegar, rubbing alcohol, and Epsom salt.
Wow.
But it doesn't help.
Huh.
A friend came over the other day, and she asked me what the smell was. Well, it was me. I refuse to leave my place. Also, I can smell the fumes the second I step out of the shower as I'm drying off. Please help.
Well, first of all, you know, if there are paint fumes in there, you want to get rid of the initial, you know, the initial, whatever the injury is coming from the paint. So she has to do that. But sometimes the brain just has a memory for these things. Believe it or not, you know what I would do? Vicks Vapor Rub in the nose. That's probably what I would do. I would take the brain. If you know the fumes are gone, you know they're not there, but you still have the fumes on you, that you don't have them there. You've got the memory of the fumes on your body. You've got to then take your body and you've got to retrain your body with something else. And Vicks Vapor Rub with that menthol that my mother would put up my nose, I can smell it now when I think about it. You put that up for a few days. My guess is that will actually retrain you. And you may not have the paint fumes, but you'll remember the Vicks Vapor Rub, which to me actually kind of reminds me of my mom and makes me feel good. Because the fumes are not there, the memory is.
Have a difficult health question that is leaving you fuming? Zorba can help. He's here to help. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org or, like he said, through Facebook.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well,
Carl. If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at zorbapastor.org or, of course, on Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us next time on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.